Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you with us. It wasn't all that long ago, only a few years ago, that organized labor, a lot of people in organized labor here in the United States saw recent immigrants as a threat to American workers and their jobs. However, today that attitude, as far as a lot of people are concerned in organized labor, that attitude has changed as unions look for ways to organize these newcomers. This morning in this hour of the program, we'll be talking with a top leader of one of the country's largest labor unions about the new immigrant workforce. And our guest is Eliseo Medina. He is the International Executive Vice President of the Service Employees International Union. It is the fastest growing union in North America, has something like 1.8 million members who work in healthcare, in property services, in public services. He has had this post since 1996, although has been working with the union going back to 1986 when he did work in California, places like San Diego and Los Angeles. He began his career as a labor activist in 1965 when he was just 19. He was a great picker, and he was involved in the historic United Farm Workers strike in Delano, California. And then for the next 13 years, worked with Cesar Chavez, working on his skills as a union organizer. He rose through the ranks to serve as the Farm Workers National Vice President. He is here visiting the campus to talk about this subject, that is the new immigrant workforce, as a lecture that is part of an initiative of the Center for Advanced Study, which is also co-sponsored by the folks in labor and industrial relations. And this will be taking place tonight at 7:30 at the Levis Faculty Center on the third floor. And all of these programs, all of the programs that the center is involved in, they're always free. They're always open to the public. Anyone who is interested in attending should feel welcome. So you can stop by and hear him. But also we, over the years, have had a lot of folks involved in these talks here on this program so that we could bring them to a wider audience, people outside of Champaign-Urbana. And of course, anyone listening can participate in the program here. All you need to do is call, pick up the telephone and call 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line. That means if it would be a long-distance call for you, you can use that number and the call will be on us. That's 800-222-9455. Again, here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Well, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you very much for allowing me to join you today, David.
Tell us a little bit more about your union and what kind of people are members.
Well, our union is looks like America. You know, we represent in the healthcare field doctors, nurses, food service workers, custodians, technicians. In the public sector, we represent city workers, federal workers, state and county, all different levels, professional, white collar, pink collar, blue collar. And then we represent janitors, which are primarily immigrants from Central and South America, from Mexico, Eastern Europe, and Africa. Mm. So in many ways, both in terms of occupation and ethnically, we do look like a microcosm of America.
Yeah, as far as the people who work in public services are concerned, I'm sure AFSCME is the biggest union of those people, but yours is the number two.
We're the second largest union of public sector workers, yes. Yeah.
I want to have you talk a little bit about this basic shift in attitude among organized labor, perhaps not everyone in organized labor, but among organized labor, from looking at newcomers, immigrants, whether you're talking about people who are here legally, whether you're talking people who are undocumented, this big shift from thinking that they were a threat to American workers to the idea that here is a group of people that needs to be organized, that you want to, instead of pushing them away, you're wanting to bring them into the fold as far as organized labor is concerned. How did that come about?
Well, first of all, let me just say that it was ironic that the labor movement for many, many years was unwelcoming of immigrants, because the American labor movement was founded by immigrants. It was from people that came from Ireland, people that came from Poland and from England. This was who started the labor movement in this country, and they started it for a very simple reason. They were being exploited. They were being paid low wages. They're mistreated. They had no rights, and so they formed the unions to be able to help advance their dreams and their hopes in coming to this country. And so we organized this movement that had a major impact in this country, and it in fact helped create a middle class. Then, for some reason, we sort of became complacent, and as a result of that, we started seeing that conditions for workers in this country, for all workers, not just immigrants, for everybody, started deteriorating. And it became clear to us that we had 12 million workers out working in the factories, in agriculture, and as janitors, and in the meat processing plants. And they were being exploited just the way immigrants had been for decades before. And it became clear to us that if we're ever going to be able to improve conditions for workers in this country, that we needed to unite all workers, regardless of whether they are born in this country or whether they're recent immigrants, that we all have a stake in ensuring that we unite to fight for the common good and for mutual benefit.
Mm-hmm. Well, all of that is true, I think that also some people would say that clearly here also one of the issues had to be the fact that union membership in the United States was declining, the percentage of workers that was unionized was declining, and that also for a kind of a strategic reason for the future of the strength of organized labor, many people must have said, look, here's a potential pool of people we could organize and we could bring in, and that rather than pushing them off, we should be trying to bring them in because we need more members.
Oh, absolutely. I think this is a case where for immigrants to be able to get to a point that they can make a decent living and be able to enjoy the protections that they come seeking in this country, they need to join a union. But at the same time, for the unions to be able to once again have an impact in the wages and benefits that workers enjoy in this country, they need immigrants because they are a presence in the workforce. In agriculture, I would say that about 80% of the people working in agriculture are immigrants. Many of them are undocumented. If you look at home construction, the same thing is true. If you look in custodial, janitorial of major office buildings around this country, the same is true again. If you look at landscaping, so if you look around at many of the key parts of our economy that are not going to be exported to China, that are not going to be going off to India, these are jobs that are going to be in this country. And many of them are being dominated by immigrants. So if we're going to improve the conditions in all of these industries, we need to go out and bring our message to these immigrants and bring them into our union so that we can fight together.
Mm-hmm. How do you make that argument? I'm sure there might still be people, American workers, who are worried about the possibility that having newcomers come is either it's going to cost them their job. It may be because they would make this argument. So, well, these people, they really want work and they need the work and they're going to work. They're going to be willing to work for lower wages than I will. It drives down wages. I mean, I'm sure that people have all kinds of reasons for saying, no, we really shouldn't be doing this.
And I think the problem is not the immigrants. The problem is employers who want mm-hmm. to pay the lowest wages possible, that want to provide no benefits. And immigrants, and they come to this country, they don't come saying, oh, good, I'm going to go work for $2 an hour. Oh, good, I'm going to go to the United States and have no health insurance. Oh, good, I'm going to go to the U.S. and live in overcrowded one-room apartments. They come here because they want a better life. And then they find these employers who take advantage of that. So what we need to do is that we need to take away the profit motive of these employers by organizing these workers into a union so that they can demand fair wages and working conditions. Secondly, that we also need to ensure that all the laws are enforced. So we have a situation where we have employers that don't pay the minimum wage. We need to make sure that that's enforced. We have employers that won't pay overtime. We need to make sure that those laws are enforced. And as a matter of fact, our union has filed a number of lawsuits against some major corporations, and we wind up settling for $20, $30, $40 million in back wages to these workers. And so when we start enforcing these laws, then we actually begin to create a level playing field. And then employers know that they cannot use immigrant workers to undermine the standards in this country.
Mm. Well, I'm sure that because a lot of the people that we're talking about are some significant number of the people we're talking about are undocumented, then that's how it is that for you and other people in organized labor, immigration policy becomes an issue because you really, if people can't, in a sense, stand up and say, I'm here, you're not going to be able to organize those people because basically they're trying to keep their heads down. What is your thought about now? And there have been a number of proposals made, and the president has made it, and some people in Congress have, I think, endorsed the idea that we should make it possible for, particularly for those people who are here already, to be here legally, to stay, to work, to pay taxes, to become part of the system, and then perhaps also there should be a way for people who want to come here to work to make it possible for them to do that and do that legally as well. And there's been a lot of argument in Congress about this, and I'm sure the argument will continue. What do you think we should be doing, the United States should be doing as far as dealing with people who are here, who want to be here, who are working, but who are not here legally, and then perhaps people who would want to come to work as well?
Well, let me just say that our current immigration system is absolutely and totally broken. It does not work. It doesn't work for immigrants. It doesn't work for the American people. And it doesn't work for business who may need workers to come in to do their jobs. So here we have a situation where the only way that people can come to this country is illegally. Because there's only 5,000 visas available every year for people to immigrate. Well, there's about 500,000 people that want to come to this country. There being no legal channels, what do? They go out and they find a smuggler. They walk through the desert in order to get here. They walk through rat-infested tunnels. 400 of them die every single year in the desert. And once they get here, then they wind up with a situation where they're exploited. And they're always afraid to report the employers because they might get arrested and deported. And then the American people are extremely frustrated. They want a solution. They don't want to have a system of illegality. And so what our government is doing is throwing money at the problem, not really solving it. So, for example, right now the border enforcement program costs us $10.4 billion a year. Now, there's a discussion about trying to build a 700-mile wall that is going to cost somewhere between $20 and $30 billion more. They're going to double the size of the Border Patrol to 18,000 people. And now, all of this to stop people from coming who want to pick our food, who want to mow our yards, who want to take care of our kids, who will build our houses. And so this system doesn't work. And what we think we need to do is we need a comprehensive immigration reform policy. We got to fix this. We got to stop this system of illegality. And what we think we need to do is the following things. Number one, we need to give an opportunity to the 12 million people who are here in an undocumented status to legalize. That means they get given an opportunity and say, come on out, tell us who you are, where you live, where you work. We want you to go through a background check to make sure you're not a criminal. And if you owe money, then you got to pay it. You owe back taxes, you got to pay them. And then if you are the kind of person that's here, you're working, you just want to support your family, you're holding down a job, let's give them a green card, go to work. And then if you're and then I think that'll be about 99.99% of the workers. That 0.1% that may be criminals or maybe problems, then let's deal with them. But it doesn't serve us to have 12 million people and we have no idea who they are. That doesn't make us any safer. And as a matter of fact, I would submit that this kind of system is bad for the security of America. The second thing we need to do is how do we deal with people that want to come in the future? Mm-hmm. Right now, they come walking through the desert. That's unacceptable. We don't know who they are, number one. Number two, it's extremely dangerous. So we ought to set up a program where a new worker visa program where people could come legally, but they come not the way they did in the old days with guest worker programs with no protections. We want them to come with a full protection of the law. We want them with portability of employment so they don't become tied to one employer, and that employer can use that over their heads by saying, if you complain about what I'm paying you or what I'm doing, I'm going to have you deported. So take away that power that the employer holds over the workers. And then eventually, for those that want to stay in this country, and they're good workers, they have a job, their employer vouches for them, let them have a path to residency in the future. I think if we do all of these things, number one, we free up the Border Patrol to really focus on their number one job. They ought to be focusing on the border on stopping smugglers. They ought to stop terrorists if there are any trying to come across. They ought to stop drugs. They ought not to be spending all of their time trying to stop gardeners and nannies and other people from coming to this country.
Our guest in this part of Focus 580 is Eliseo Medina. He is Executive Vice President of the Service Employees International Union. It's the fastest growing union in North America, 1.8 million members, has been had that position since 1996. He's here visiting the campus to talk about this particular issue, that is the new immigrant workforce. We have certainly the opportunity for people to ask questions. We have somebody here who is lined up and ready to go. Others are welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Our first caller here is in Lovington and on line one. Hello.
Morning.
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Good. I got a comment and I'll hang up and listen. It seems to me like changing one policy for the other when we can't enforce the laws that we got in place now isn't going to do any good at all. And I also wonder how attractive these workers are going to be if the employers actually have to pay them for their hours they work. I know a lot of citizens of this country that are making minimum wage do not get paid for the hours they work to begin with. And, yeah, I don't know if you understand my question.
Yes, yeah. I do.
Okay, thank you. I got to listen.
All right, thank you.
Well, I think there's no question that there are a lot of employers who like the system the way it is because it's cheaper for them. They maximize their profits off of exploiting these immigrant workers. But I don't think that's the majority of the employers. The employers that I talk to tell me that what they want is dependable workers, people that they can train and that are committed to their jobs and will help them their business succeed. They're not interested in cheating people. They just want to be competitive. And so what we have is a situation where you have an uneven playing field. You got law-abiding employers who cannot compete with all of these other bottom feeder employers who are cheating the immigrants. And I think we need to be able to level that playing field. And there will be some employers that won't like that. But too bad. You know, we can't allow them to drag everybody down, and we can't allow them to continue to exploit workers.
Yeah. What about the idea that somehow this would it creates a greater burden on employers in terms of paperwork and perhaps additional regulations and so forth? If indeed that it means that they're going to have to pay their workers more, they're going to have to increase the wages that they pay, that it might end up overall actually eroding jobs because employers will say, well, okay, if I have to do these things and I have to pay this much, if I have to pay everybody at least minimum wage, then maybe instead of having 10 workers, I'm only going to have 7. And then it's actually going to mean somehow in the long run, it's going to mean fewer jobs.
Well, I think as a country, we made a decision on that a long time ago. You know, we decided in this country that there were certain standards we wanted to set, minimum wages. We said every employer ought to have workers' compensation insurance. We said employers ought to have unemployment insurance. We said employers ought to contribute toward Social Security. So as a country, we made a policy of saying this is the floor that every citizen of our country ought to enjoy. And so I think that we should not be in a situation where we let employers then begin to erode that standard that we have set in this country. And I actually think that at the end of the day, if everybody is paying their fair share, if workers who are here undocumented are paying their fair share of taxes, that if we all then have the same obligations, it'll be good for everybody.
I understand your dad was a bracero.
Yes.
He was one. He came from Mexico as part of this program that was put into effect in the early 40s, a guest worker program, essentially, so that people could come and do farm work in California. I think now, and as people talk about this possibility of having, again, what sort of amounts to a guest worker program here in the United States, people refer back to that time. And there are a lot of people who think that it was the program was a failure, and they argue that because they say there were not enough protections in place so that the welfare of the people who came under this program was not looked after. And I think that some people worry that somehow we could be in that kind of situation again, where we could say yes to people, yes, come to the United States, work, we'll make sure that you're well taken care of, that the working conditions are what they should be, and that you're properly paid and so forth. And there questions are raised about whether, in fact, that's really going to happen. And could this end up being that same kind of story once again?
But, you know, you're right. My father came to this country with the Bracero program, which was a guest worker program, but he had no rights. Mm-hmm. When he came to this country, he got paid sometimes not even what the contract stipulated. They complained. They got shipped back to Mexico. The housing was terrible. If they complained, they were told, you don't like it? Get out. There's thousands more waiting to take your place. So I'm intimately familiar with these guest worker programs, and I share the opinion that the Bracero program was an absolute failure. We don't want to repeat that. And that's why I think that as this debate in the Congress is going on right now, our union takes the position that let's learn from the failures of the past. Let's not repeat them. Let's instead create a break-the-mold system, a system that is totally different, one that does provide the workers not only with a guarantee of those rights, but an independent way of enforcing them. So, for example, if they want to join a union in order to enforce those rights, if they have enough money and they want to hire a private lawyer to enforce those rights, they can do that. Or if they want to go to a community organization for help or to a church, they can do that. But that if this employer, this farmer, this factory owner is mistreating him, that they would be able to walk away and go find another job just the way we can as American citizens. And I think that there's no program like that in the past. There is no problem like that currently, but I think that's what we need so that we don't set up another system like the Bracero program.
Yeah. So it sounds like you think, though, that the key here is for these workers to be able to organize, to have someone to represent and argue for their interests.
Or they can advocate themselves, but they have to have the right to be able to do that. Because if they don't have that, then we're going to come up with another Bracero program, which I think would be a tragedy for this country. I think that those kind of programs where people are exploited goes against the values that we stand for in the U.S. I think most people believe in fair play. Most people believe that if you work hard, you ought to be treated fairly, that you ought to be paid a fair wage, and that you ought not to be mistreated. I think those are all values in this country that the American people support, and I think our legislation should reflect those values.
While there seem to be in Congress a lot of people who are sympathetic to this idea and the proposal that the president has made, particularly I think there seems to be, at least there was, a little bit more support in the Senate than there was in the House, that still there seem to be a number of people in the Congress saying, particularly when it comes to people who are undocumented now, who are saying something like, look, the people are breaking the law, and that we ought to enforce the law. And rather than saying to them, well, you came here illegally, but it's okay, we'll put that aside and we'll make it possible for you to be here legally. And I know that there are some people who think that somehow that also should be some provisions for a person eventually in time, if they want to become an American citizen. There seem to be in a lot of people's minds this big issue of lawbreaking and the fact that the people are here illegally and that we shouldn't sanction that, we shouldn't excuse that, we shouldn't say, well, you broke the law, but that's okay. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think that we're saying as a union that we should just excuse it. I think that in this country, we're a country of laws, and there's a penalty if you break the law. Depending on the violation, you could pay a fine, or you could go to jail, you could make restitution. There's any different ways to deal with it. I think that what we need to do is understand, first of all, we are not going to deport 12 million people. I mean, the impact on the economy, if we try to do that, it would collapse because they're holding down jobs in so many industries that are critical to our economy. I don't think that we're going to do that. Secondly, who's going to do it? Are we going to take all of our police forces and take them off of fighting crime instead to go find people, arrest them? And then what happens if some of them have kids born in this country? Are we going to take the parents, deport them, and leave the kids by themselves? Who's going to take care of them? I mean, it is just not going to happen. I don't think that we're going to do that. So the question is, how do we deal with them? Okay, it seems to me that they came here, they broke the law. We ought to say, okay, you're going to have to make restitution. If you owe taxes, pay them. We're going to fine you for having done that. And nobody's going to get off scot-free. They are going to have to pay a penalty. But I think we also need to recognize reality.
There, at least in the last Congress, there seemed to be this big divide between the House and the Senate, with the Senate, again, sort of sympathetic to this idea of trying to create what amounts to a kind of a guest worker program. And in the House, they seemed to be wanting to take a more punitive kind of law enforcement approach. And so there was this major divide between the two. So now we have a new Congress. We have a change in the majority party in both the House and the Senate. Where do you see this going? Do you think that there is enough? Has there been enough of a change and enough of a difference of opinion so that now there would be more people in the House willing to support essentially what the president has talked about doing?
Well, and actually, you know, I commend President Bush for continuing to put this issue on the front burner because I do think it's an important issue. Unfortunately, last year, I think particularly in the House, rather than having a reasoned public policy debate, it got caught up in the politics of the election, and the House, rather than trying to figure out how to fix a problem, instead try to make it into a political wedge issue. But I think the voters in November rejected this. Every single Congress member and senator who ran on this as their primary issue, with one exception, they all lost. Because people said, we are concerned about solutions, not about scapegoating. We want solutions that will take care of the problem, not just to punish and create more problems for this country. So I think that we have an opportunity with this new Congress for a couple of reasons. I think it's a new Congress that has an opportunity to do something different from the last Congress. I think the president also would like to see something done. He's in the last 2 years of his term. I think he would like to leave something as a legacy. And I think this is a perfect opportunity for the Democrats and for President Bush and the Republican Party to come together. This is a difficult issue, but not impossible to solve. I think there are good policy solutions, and they just need to focus on it.
Mm-hmm. Our guest in this part of Focus 580 is Eliseo Medina. He is the International Executive Vice President of the Service Employees International Union. It is the fastest growing union in North America, 1.8 million members, with people who work in varieties of various of sectors. They are the largest healthcare union. It's the largest property services union. It is the second largest public services union. He's here to talk about this very subject, about the new immigrant workforce, as part of an initiative sponsored by the Center for Advanced Study, looking at immigration history and policy. And I'm sure that this year and perhaps also into next year, there will be a lot of programs on this subject. And I'm sure we'll have a lot of these speakers here with us on this program. Co-sponsor here of his visit also is the Institute of Labor and Industrial Relations. He'll be giving a talk tonight at 7:30 at the Levis Center on the third floor. That's on West Illinois in Urbana on the U of I campus. Anyone interested is welcome to attend. Also, questions are welcome to 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. I wonder, to the extent that you think that a lot of this concerns about newcomers has to do with people's worry about what's happening demographically with the country. And you can say that, yeah, it has to do with concerns about American jobs and it has concerns about the rule of law and all this kind of stuff. But I wonder whether you think that part of it does have to do with people's concern about large numbers of Latinos, Spanish-speaking people coming to the United States. And somehow the idea that there's this big demographic change going on, as some people would argue that's like holding your hands up in front of a big wave and as if you can do anything about it. But there are people that worry about what that means for America.
No, I think that's right. I think there are a certain number of people who are concerned about change. And, and the problem is that there is a lot of change going on in this country right now. You start with the globalization of the economy. Where a lot of jobs are disappearing and now being shipped off to India and to China. And now all of a sudden you find people that had a good job finding that they can only get a job flipping burgers for minimum wage. So there's all of this changes in insecurity going on. And then you add to that, the demographic changes. I think it creates a lot of instability. But and that's one of the reasons why we need to solve this problem, not one of the reasons why we shouldn't solve this problem. The truth is that America has always been a melting pot, that we've had successive generations of immigrants come and they contribute their energy and their skills and their vision to making it this country what it is today. And I think that our polling that we've done and we've done numerous polls around the country that say to people, if workers came to this country and they had these values and they work hard and they paid their taxes and they were learning English and they were assimilating into our society, do you think that's a good thing? And usually we get about 75% of the respondents saying that, yes, in that situation they want and welcome immigrants coming into this country because they make this country stronger. And the fact is that I think that there are people around the world that want to come to the United States because the American dream is still something that people aspire to. And I think the immigrants that are coming today from Latin America will prove themselves as worthy as the previous generations have been given the opportunity to be a part of this great nation.
We have time, certainly, for other people to call in if you have comments, questions. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. We do have another caller here, someone over in Normal on our line 4, toll-free line. Hello.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Here's my question. Will the amnesty encourage millions from several Latin American countries to come into the United States? And what about the immigrants from the rest of the world who want to come here legally to work also?
Well, first, let me just say that this is not amnesty. This is not where people are just, as David was saying, we just say, okay, well, we're going to forget that you broke the law. This is not it. I think people are going to have to earn their place here in this country. By holding a job, by paying their taxes, by becoming a part of America. So this is not amnesty. In fact, I think that most people that are coming here are more than willing to be able to earn their right to be here. But secondly, I think that if we put together a system like the one that I'm proposing, I think that will deal with a number of people that want to come here. And then I think that particularly if we enforce the labor laws, we will stop the demand for workers from this employer. So I think it's going to settle down and alleviate the immigration to this country. Secondly, I think when we say about solving this system, we don't just mean for Latin America because, God, immigrants come from every part of the world. We have a lot of Irish immigrants working with us on trying to fix this problem. We have people from Poland. And so I think the system is broken for everybody, not just for Latin America.
Thank you.
All right. And just, I guess, to make sure that people are clear what it is we're talking about, at least my understanding about what the president has proposed is that this would be a temporary guest worker program. The idea is that someone could apply and say, I want to come to the United States to work. They would get permission to come to be here to work for a period of time. I'm thinking that it's 3 years. Anyway, it would be a period to be decided. And then the idea is then they would have to go back. They would have to go back home again for some period of time before they presumably could reapply and that they could come back. And I think that I think that what the president has said is that it's not his intention for this to be a path toward citizenship. Is that what you're saying?
You've articulated the president's position accurately, I believe. We have some differences with the president's approach because we think that people ought to come with full labor rights, as I've been saying, which the president's program does not include. And we believe that if people come here and they decide they would like to stay here and, in fact, there is a job for them here, that they ought to have an opportunity to also stay. But I think that what happens with this new system, it's going to restore what I call circularity. You know, right now, when my father came to this country, he would come and he would stay 6 months, then he would go home. He might come back a year later, work for a year, then go home. So you had people coming and going, but because you had the freedom to go back home, there was no need for us to come to this country. Right now, with the buildup on the border, what winds up happening is that when people come here, they are forced to stay here because they can't come and go the way they would have done, and then they wind up having to bring their families. So this system that I'm talking about is going to create some stability because those people who want to come and work only a year, maybe make a little bit of money and want to go home and set up a business, they'll be able to do that. And I think it's common sense. This is what we did for God for decades and decades, 100 years. And it wasn't until we had this buildup in the border that we then created a situation where people were forced to stay rather than come and go, as it used to be the practice.
And has someone said that there should be some sort of a cap? That is, we're going to say some X number of people will be allowed under this program, that it's not just as many people as would want.
Right. No, there's two things. First of all, we got to make sure there's jobs so that people don't just come and we're adding to the unemployment roll. So it's market-based. There's a test to make sure that there are jobs available. Secondly, there's about somewhere between 300,000 to 400,000 people that come every year. Mm-hmm. And so there's been a debate whether there ought to be that many visas made available. So that's still a part of the debate. But the point in all of this is that we need to be able to get away from the illegality system. We need to channel these future flows through a legal, orderly process that says, first, there's got to be a job. Two, here's the conditions. People have a legal right, so they won't be exploited. Three, that we allow them to come and go so that they don't wind up having to stay in America when they may not want to but have no alternative.
We have now about 15 minutes left. Actually, no, I should say maybe more like 10 minutes left again. And this hour of Focus 580. Once again, I want to introduce our guest, Eliseo Medina. He is International Executive Vice President of the Service Employees International Union. He's visiting here at the campus. We'll give a talk on this subject we're discussing here in the new immigrant workforce tonight on the U of I campus. Anybody who's around Champaign-Urbana should feel welcome to attend. Also, we have several callers here. We will try to get in as many as we can. Going next to someone here locally in Urbana. This is line one.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. I think that the Mexican government is really happy when all you Mexicans leave your country and come here, because then that's that many people that they don't have to deal with or care about. And I think that they should take some responsibility to help you people so that you don't have to leave your homeland. I think it's irresponsible of the Mexican government not to take care of you people.
Well, I suppose that some people have made the argument that if the Mexican economy was stronger and there were jobs for people in Mexico, they wouldn't be interested. They wouldn't feel the need to come to the United States to work. They would work in Mexico.
You know, and I would agree with half of what the caller said, and I would disagree with half. The one half that I would agree with is I do believe that the government of Mexico, as does the government of governments of Central America and Europe and other places where their economies are not good and they're forcing people to leave their homes, that they bear some responsibility for developing jobs, homes, so that people don't have to leave. People should leave their homes because they want to, not because they have to. And I think that the Mexican government and many other governments have not done an adequate job of job development in their own countries. And if they did so, I think that it would certainly cut down on the immigration. But this is not a phenomenon that's just happening in this country. It's happening worldwide. In Europe, when you have poor countries, the people from there, having no other alternatives, move to a richer country. And so this is happening throughout the world because of the globalization of the economy. And so the question is, how do we deal with these poor countries so that they, in fact, develop their economies to provide good jobs? And that's the challenge that I think needs to be taken up by all these immigrant-sending countries, Mexico included. I do know, because I've been back in Mexico, that the Mexican government is extremely worried about this because they are losing a lot of their best young people. They have some people that go through the school systems and then they leave and they come to the U.S. because there's no jobs for them at home. They're having a brain drain that eventually is going to negatively impact Mexico. And the money that people send here to the relatives back home helps them. But it doesn't solve the long-term problem for Mexico. So I think that this is a combination where we got to figure out how do we create job development in those countries and at the same time make sure that they take responsibility also for ensuring that they promote policies that will lead to job creation.
Let's talk next with someone in Terre Haute, Indiana, line number four. Hello.
Hi. I have a different view of this whole immigration type thing. And I don't look upon it as being a bad thing. What I find is we're losing many of our jobs to other people, even in other countries. And since the Cold War, our government has kept reducing funds and support towards education. So we, in turn, should be educating our own people, whether they be second-generation immigrants or otherwise, so we can be more in tune and competitive for the higher jobs, and thus the immigrants that come in and are not prepared to do those higher educated jobs because they're from a less wealthy economic-wise country, there would be a benefit to the country. I just see the whole aspect of a country that is full of immigrants and built on immigrants now is turning away immigrants, but we're not trying to better ourselves to be competitive globally. Any comments on that?
Well, let me just say that I think there's two parts to what you said. One is that in about 5 years, tens of millions of baby boomers are going to retire, and somebody's going to have to replace them. And I think that in some degrees, immigrants are going to be required in order to be able to keep our economy going, because there aren't enough people here in the U.S. that will be able to take those jobs. But secondly, I agree wholeheartedly with your question of education, because I do think that we are in a global economy and we are going to have to compete not with Mexico in the future. We're going to have to compete with India and with China, and we need to be able to prepare are not only people in this country, but people that come here to make sure that we can successfully compete with this. And education is paramount, and we need to make sure that we create the situation where everyone can contribute. And I think a lot of immigrants are prepared to do that.
I
will just make one last comment, is that not everybody coming to this country is unskilled. We actually have a lot of people that are coming who are computer technicians, who are engineers, who are physicians. But because of our laws, they either come without the ability to be able to
use their skills.
And so we need to figure out how do we then create our certification to make sure that the standards are up to what we want them to be, but that we also take advantage of those skills they do bring with them.
Correct, yeah. I agree.
All right. Well, thank you. Let's go next to Chicago. for another caller. This is line two. Hello.
Yes, good morning. Mm-hmm. I have to say that, in all honesty, I'm opposed to this guest worker program. We now have 11 million illegal aliens in this country. If we don't get a hold on this and we go for this so-called guest worker program, we're going to be burdened with 30 million illegal aliens, and we won't be able to handle that. We'll be overrun sooner or later. I suspect that the Latins will demand that have politicians on like you have now, they'll demand that Spanish be spoken in states like Arizona and California and Texas, you know, all exclusively. We won't be able to speak English out there. You'll have to speak Latin. And that could lead to all kinds of problems for this country. I remember what happened in Florida in 1980 when Mr. Castro emptied his prisons and his insane asylum, and he sent people over here, and Florida's crime statistics just went off the map. So I don't know what it is that the Latins, and I'm not anti-Latin, but I don't know what it is about Latins that they think they deserve any better treatment than the Irish when they came over here in the 1840s. They didn't have a cakewalk. They came because they were running from the potato famine. They faced the same kind of things you people face, and they set up to it. A lot of them later had to go into the army and get killed in the Civil War because they didn't have any chance. But I'm just saying, you've seen these old movies where someone gets excited and starts jabbering away in German or Italian, and they say, Papa, you're in America, speak English now. And so I believe we should have some of that now, and I'd like to get your opinion on that.
Well, first of all, let me just say that 5% of all the soldiers in the U.S. Army, Air Force, and Marines are what are called green card soldiers, immigrants. So we are doing our part to help defend this country and are proud of it. And I think that when we come to this country, we come wanting to be a part of this country. I don't know any immigrant that I've run into that doesn't want to learn English, doesn't want to be part of this society. And I think that being bilingual is an advantage because we are in a globalized economy. I think we also, that in this country, we also, English is our primary language, but it would help us to speak to the rest of the world. We ought to speak Spanish. We ought to speak Chinese. We ought to speak Urdu or whatever other language from India. Because if we don't, we are going to be in a situation where we're going to isolate ourselves from the rest of the world. So I think immigrants, and I'm speaking as a proud Mexican, because I was born in Mexico, but I'm also a proud U.S. citizen. I love this country. My kids are born in this country. We are part of this country, and I think every immigrant that comes here, like the Irish, we want to be a part of America.
What do you think about the argument that the caller makes that if we did institute this guest worker program, let's say, okay, we do something to acknowledge people who are already here illegally and attach some consequences to the fact that they broke the law to get here. We set up a program so that people can come here to work legally. With the kind of provisions that you made, the idea is that we should know there should be a job. We want to make sure that they get the kind of protections other workers have. Do you think, as the caller suggested, though, that somehow if we did that thing, if we had a legal guest worker program, that somehow also illegal immigration would at the same time increase? Would that actually make illegal immigration worse?
No, I actually think that it's going to do the opposite. If we create a legal system, one, we'll have more control. Two, that I think we will create a situation where a large number of people are going to be, in essence, cross-border transients. They're going to come, they're going to work part of the time, they're going to go home. Because that's what most people want. They don't come with the idea of, I'm going to stay in the U.S. forever. Some of them do come with that idea. Because, like my family, when we immigrated, this was our new home. But when my father came before we did, he came by himself and kept going back and forth. Mm-hmm. So I think it's all going to even out. And at the same time, we're going to be in a system of legality. So we will know who's coming and who's going.
Yeah. We've got to finish. And I'm sorry, we have one more person we can't take. Very quickly, people may remember back in 2005, there was a big split in the AFL-CIO, the big coalition of unions. And I think you were very much involved in that,
yes,
that split, arguing that the AFL-CIO and its other member unions, some of them, had not placed enough emphasis on organizing. I think that was one of your things. And look, this is really important. We've got to go out and get more workers. what's happening now, do you think, with organized labor, and what is its future?
Well, I think that the problem we got is that the working people in this country are in terrible shape. We got 46, almost 47 million people without health insurance. Pensions are being decimated. Jobs are being exported. And I think that everyone, the AFL, CIO, and our Change to Win Federation agree on one thing, that things for workers are not going to get better unless we unite together to fight for the common good. So I think the future is that we're going to be fighting to change the conditions for workers in this country. We have to, because the alternative is that we're going to leave a world to our children that is far worse than the one we inherited, and we can't have that. So I think we're still in there, we're fighting, and I think we're going to work hard to make change. We have to.
Our guest this morning, Eliseo Medina, he is the International Executive Vice President of the Service Employees International Union. It's the fastest growing union in North America, 1.8 million members. And he's here visiting the campus to talk about the new immigrant workforce, unions, community, and the American dream. That's the title of a talk that he'll be giving on the U of I campus tonight at 7:30 at the Levis Faculty Center, third floor on West Illinois in Urbana. That's part of an initiative sponsored by the Center for Advanced Study, looking at history and policy of immigration in this country, also co-sponsored by the folks in the Institute of Labor and Industrial Relations. So anyone interested here in Champaign-Urbana who would like to attend the talk should feel welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.